gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to this week's episode of One Up Top, the Essential League of Ireland podcast. It boils piss and tells you how it is. Jordan, how are you getting on?
Yeah, all good. We are live here in the sanctuary again this week. It's been a couple of turbulent weeks on the podcast and it's been a couple of turbulent weeks in the gaff. You nearly killed me the other night when I was dreadfully hungover came the door. You shook me and nearly hit the deck with fucking fear.
And that's what you get for jumping in beside the bed with me every night when you come home drunk. So next time that happens, I'll make sure you fucking do die.
I also brought a lady pal of mine back at 1 in the morning, and Mr. Whelan decides to walk into the sitting room half naked, almost fully naked. All I hear is a whoo.
Well, she was dead, so I don't know what you're bringing her back for. We want to thank our sponsors, Grand Cru Beers, Vault Fashions and New Age Barbers. We want to thank our last guest, Oscar Brennan, who sailed in here, hung the bollocks out with a few people, told the truth, and subsequently made us some more famous. So, yeah, big thanks, Oscar.
Big thanks, Oscar. But I suppose the guest this week, Mr. Jay Coyland, from football casual to football captain. Welcome to the show.
Nice, so lads, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. We got 8,000 listens on the machine last time. A lot of Shells fans were crying, and we had a really good fucking laugh. So, look, it was a job well done. As Jordan said, we haven't been on the podcast for a few weeks. We've taken a busy giggling. We've taken gardening leave like a certain coach at Shells. But as we always start, Jake, we'll look at the league table here. And look, Rovers running away with it at the moment, not by a whole lot. UCD and Finn Harps down the bottom, and Bowes in around the midriff. Does that surprise you about this league table this year?
No, I think my thought would have been that Rovers would run away with it, but obviously Derry been struggling of late. Dundalk been doing well, but just probably the inconsistency of all the other teams.
Yeah, and Dundalk overtaking Derry. You know, Derry were kind of tipped to kind of somewhat challenge Rovers. Dundalk have been the kind of surprise package, you think, this year?
They have, yeah, and then I think they might. I think it's only they only have one or two wins away, so their home form in Ireland is so good. But just looking at it now, you think that 4 second and third would nearly be sewn up. That it's Bowes, Sligo, Pat Starr, fighting for that sport, fourth spot.
It is. We're 4 points off of the game in hand, so it doesn't look
top three looks like it's sort of sewn up. I still don't think Dundalk nor fucking Derry have enough. Dundalk, they had a chance to get into the toilet race and they sort of fucked it away getting beaten by Jordan. I think they drew last week as well. As Jake said, their away form is probably throwing it out the window. Look, it's probably gone beyond the point where people actually don't really give a bollocks of Rovers in the league anymore. At the end of the day, if you pick between stopping the Rovers in the league and if it causes getting Europe, it's Bowes first always. So once we get Europe by the end of the season, I think it's possible, fourth place at least, whether the cup winners is up for grabs. Mind you, me and Mr. Rowe, fingers crossed, people would know him as, we had the cup won at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday around the kitchen table.
There's nothing worse than getting carried away with yourself. Jake, your former side, Drogheda United, they're just ahead. Obviously, they've got a good gap ahead of Finn Harps at the moment. Are you surprised by where they are? Is that probably thereabouts with the squad they had? I thought they got fairly depleted in the off-season, and he's obviously doing a pretty decent job to keep them, you know, away from that bottom two.
Yeah, you probably could say a little bit surprised, but obviously, worked with Kev Doherty for the last 4 years, and he's really good. But this year, going in as manager, it's totally different. You don't know how it's gonna go. And obviously, they lost a lot of players, but now they've done really well. But I think their expectation at the start of the season would be to stay up. So they're definitely punching above their weight at the minute.
Absolutely. Just gonna talk about the European results. Start with Pats. They have a very long trip now this week. I think they're going to Macedonia, is it, or Montenegro?
Mora is
Slovenia.
Slovenia. It's a pretty tough trip. They drew 1-1 at home, which wasn't too bad. Sligo Rovers probably got the pick of them all by beating Motherwell.
She's fine, thanks. the most worst joke.
What do you think about that, Jake? It was a good result. Probably not a great result, as in terms of great League of Ireland wins, because Motherwell haven't actually been firing out of the traps for a long
time. No, but I think if you look at Sligo's form this year, it is a good result. Yeah. Like, they've been hit and miss all year, and you say Motherwell are in pre-season, but I just saying to people, my own friends last week, that if they don't back it up by going through in the second leg, it counts for fuck all, doesn't it?
They've essentially bought the ball at the town game. They should have been handballed off the pitch. McGinty's obviously gone now, so he's not there to rescue him this time.
Luke McNichols played in goal. He was Cliftonville number one. He played in goal against Motherwell, and he was absolutely sensational.
Very good.
This is a man that has a horn for the Danske Bank League.
I know
a few bit. I know my aircon from my Danske Bank.
And no, look, I wouldn't be surprised if we would go out and beat them 2-0 at all. But I'd like to see something go through. Probably shouldn't want the team.
Because you don't want to go to Sligo next Saturday.
Yeah, two games in the best for this old man.
You're all bones. Well, tell you what, as you said, look, it means fuck all if they can't back it up in the showgrounds. It's going to be a solid crowd there. And honestly, we do wish Sligo all the best, and we do wish our friend Paddy Kirk, who's been absolutely outstanding for them.
Yeah, please
come home. But yeah, the other results were Derry City were beaten by Riga. That was a really bad one for them, obviously, in Europe. Shamrock Rovers, they went through against the ragtag Maltese side, only to be absolutely fucking handballed on the pitch by Ludo Goretz. And possibly handballed around the cells by the Bulgarian border police. I'd like to thank them for their outstanding work keeping Bulgaria safe from people using fake passports, where the sounds thing. So a big
finally Interpol is on them and not us.
What do you think about Rovers in Europe? It's probably a bit disappointed. Another playing tonight. It's not exactly a sold out crowd in Talajek, but there's no chance they'll probably turn that around. They're probably happy enough to take their Europa
Conference League. I wouldn't give them a hope. I watched it last week. I'd say they're absolutely kicking themselves with the goal in the last minute. If they brought back Tala at 2-0, you have a chance. But even that team looked really good. And now their budget and all that. People say budgets talk. But they weren't great in the first half. The second half, they were a little bit better. But Ludogorets were 2-0 up as well. So they're probably on easy street.
Exactly, yeah. So look, as we said, we'd like to once again thank Bulgarian police for giving us a good fucking laugh.
A good old-fashioned giggle.
Yeah,
funny how these things come full circle. That Shamrock Rovers fans were sort of slagging the Balls fan that had went missing a couple of weeks ago. Then a week later, the mascot gets taken away. No way to be heard of or seen in a few days.
Absolute strange character who dresses up as a mascot at any age in life, to be honest. I think that man should be on a watch list. however, we will just go through some of our results. As we said, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. When we had Oscar with us, we obviously beat Shells and then we went to play Rovers. Look, we lost 1-0 away from home. It was a decent performance, Jordan. I remember being out there. I know it was a... Rovers probably just looked a bit fitter and hungry in the second half, and it was a Rory Gaffney goal who's been absolutely brilliant this year for them, the Red Pox. Jake, did you see any of that game?
Yeah, I watched it. I think saying at the time, Balls in the first half, they'd be kicking themselves, not taking the chances that when you play that well against Rovers, it's not often that a team as good as Rovers is going to be like that for two halves, and could kind of tell Gaffney missed that chance after fucking 40 seconds in the second half.
Good save by Ryan.
Good save. He should score, and then from the corner he scores, and you're up against it then. But no, I thought that was a good performance by Balls, and obviously they've backed it up since. So
it's one of those you can see it coming when you have a first half like that.
If you don't, half time
you're always giddy, but
if you don't score
you're like, well, for fuck's sake, what are you going to do? It's nearly written like that way when you have those games against Rovers, you know. But if you don't come out in you're better off coming out in the second half sometimes.
I think we came out with that game, as you said, a bit more optimistic. It wasn't all that bad. We then played Derry at home thinking, look, we should get something out of this. We started off absolutely brilliant. We went the goal down before half time. And then we're followed by a Max Murphy masterclass at the back. Hopefully that man has never seen again the ball short. I think that's his third on goal this year. We were obviously beaten 3-1 in the end. The less said about that, the better, lads. But we got two back-to-back wins on the spin. One out in UCD. Didn't go to that. And dropped it. And I didn't go to that either. So lads, you take it away there, please.
UCD on tour. So now you went out there and it was grim, even as always out in UCD.
Bit beaming sunshine, but still grim.
I'll tell you what, it was the hottest day up to the year up to that point. And I remember I was walking out from my job in town. And I walked from there out to UCD on my own. Earphones in. And I was just thinking.
Down the canal, like Trevor Daly.
Yeah, well, look. I don't know where you are, but the skeletons are buried with him anyway. Anyway, so I was like walking around and I realised, geez, it's the hottest day, it's a tourist night, I'm going to watch Balls play UCD in a bowl. So what the fuck is my life coming to?
Yeah, you could have been sitting at home on
Tinder. We were playing heavily, Jake. I don't know if you've seen it, but I thought we were fucking lucky to be 2-1 up at halftime. Absolutely blessed.
Yeah, no, I actually only seen the highlights of that one. I watched the game against Drogheda, but look, if you're... You know, playing for Balls, you should be going out and beating UCD 100%.
Out the door, they should be beating 2 or 3-0. Doesn't matter what team you are.
That team
should be beaten. Absolutely, they should be battered out the door. The draw of the game as well, Jake. Obviously, your former side. I don't know where your allegiances lie. Last Friday, but it was two back-to-back away wins and just a couple of points in that game. Josh Kerr, I think he's going to be a firm fan favourite. That man is absolutely loving it. He's obviously someone who's buying into the club. He's buying into the idea. He's probably one of the first names of the team sheet if he's walking into the centre-half.
Yeah, I seen him came in the UC game. From the get-go, he was sort of barking and roaring and shouting. And he's like, no problem giving Dawson a boy. He was obviously fucking let us now stick and tell him what you're fucking doing, which is good to say. I think we needed that in the team. Someone that doesn't come in and kiss the badge. I think this could be a bit of a saviour for long, that there's now somebody in the dressing room here in John Sullivan to sort of connect them with the fans.
Yeah, definitely.
A bit more than, you know, some players, they've been there years, but it's not the connection because they're not that vocal or they're not the badge case, or, for example, Lever or something like that, you know, great servant to the club, but we never really associate them as like a hardcore Bowsman, if that makes sense. So, like, having those two lads come in, it's like straight away they're behind the crowd. Even John O'Sullivan was giving it large to the away crowd before he scored a goal.
John O'Sullivan giving it large on Twitter, if anyone wants to have a pop at him. Jake, where do you stand with that? Senior players not afraid to kind of give a bit back on social media. Is there something that, you know, we're going to see more of it, Jerry, especially in a league like this?
But to be honest, I wouldn't be mad for people like that going about tweeting. But the fact that if people are giving him a bit and he's giving it back shows he's got a bit of balls. But I do think something Bowes were lacking was a little bit of steel, especially in the midfield and centre-half. And look, it's tough when you're out there as a young player. Sometimes you can let the game pass you by, or you don't actually realise what's going on. That's why it's so important to have an experienced head in the team. Like, look at, for instance, playing with Chota last year, Gary Deegan. We would have been fucked without him because his game head, his game management, it's just really important. And obviously with the players Bowes last year, Bucco, heart and soul of the team, it's hard to replace that. Now, John Sullivan come in, that game last week, he looks like he has that bit of bite, and he's very good going forward. He looks a quality player, so hopefully that'll work for the rest of the season and give that little bit of know-how to see games through.
Yeah, I think a couple of people said that John Sullivan coming into this team might take some of the pressure off someone like Jordan Flores, who was probably seen as possibly a bit of a leader, one of the older players in the team, albeit being 26, 27, probably not the most, you know, you wouldn't have been looking at him in another squad saying that he's a leader. But he certainly came into this team with that sort of promise around him. So does it take the pressure off him as well, you know?
Yeah, maybe so. But again, leadership doesn't necessarily come with age either. You know, it can fucking come at youth and come older. Some players haven't got it. Like, remember Dinny Corcoran saying himself, I'm still not the loudest player nearly at 30-odd years of age. You might have played with Dinny last year.
Yeah, I played with Dinny last year. But just one thing I'd know from going into a dressing room, it's good to have them senior pros in there because they set examples. And also, when you're going up to training, you're out training, you're playing games, you're not impressing the manager, you're trying to impress them as well. You want to win them over. That creates a team bond. And I think with bringing the couple of lads in now that have that bit of experience, that have got a lot of games on their belt, it'll actually benefit the younger lads. Competition is healthy. You know what I mean? 100%. Absolutely. So, like, I know you say Dawson is gone now, but John O'Sullivan probably would have been great for him because it would have been something that would drive his game on. But obviously, there's no point in talking about that because Bowes have actually lost two of their best players.
Exactly, yeah. We will move on to that in a minute or two. Liam Bourth on the score sheet again. Liam Bourth, absolutely infamous for scoring crackers. He scored another one against big Colin McCabe.
I think the first time since he actually scored last was drotted away. I didn't have time to get down to the bookies to do a four score. Score. Fucking sick. I think it was about 7 or 8 to 1.
I think
it was very typical, so I might stay away from him from now on.
With all the kind of like talk about, you know, possibly him going to Rovers, we all heard this, you know, we see in Facebook messages and stuff like that.
Well, look,
he's laced up his boots, he's come on, he's played an absolute blinder of a game, and he scored the winner. Does that show that his commitment is straight to Bowes? Or,
Look, I don't think Liam Bourth's going to. He's not going to be fucking. He's not going to hang up the boots at Bowes because I don't know whether there was a move to Rovers or whatever, but I think he's still going to play to his best ability at the end of the season. Maybe have a look at the end of the season, but looking at the boys' track record, I wouldn't be holding out for much loyalty.
What do you think about that, Jake? He's obviously come back in the team and he scored the goal with all this talk around him. You know, is something that can play in a player's mind. Obviously, if you've got a couple of offers here, that fuck it, you know what? I go down tools.
Do you ever get a phone call towards the end of the season, you know, a few weeks after that contract, and someone's maybe sure they, well, what are you doing next year, isn't
it? Yeah, you would.
Jake was never that good.
not from Rovers, anyway. So, look, I wouldn't have answered it. No, but I think at this stage of the season, like, I know there's probably only 12, 13 games left, but it might have played on his mind more so than if it had happened towards the end of the season. But look, I think he's a quality player. I think he's one of the best players in the league. And if Bowes have him on song, they'll be definitely on course to get Europe at the end of this year.
I think probably something that plays on a lot of Bowes fans' mind at the moment is if you look at that Rovers team, he's probably a perfect fit right now. Seeing as Danny Landreau
is. Landreau's playing sort of left wing nearly in the front three. So Bourth comes in, he sits in fucking perfect, which is obviously worrying.
It's frightening, to be honest. Just a couple of other things in that game. Obviously, Ethan Varian got a run out. Declan McDade, these new players. Obviously, they're going to take a bit of a while to find their feet. Probably, I didn't realise why we were going to sign Ethan Varian. It's obviously come fairly clear now since his promise has left us. So we'll just talk about the players that have just come in recently. Lawrence Dell, we don't know much about him. He's obviously from this friendly with Berlin. There's been a bit of talk in the background, which is, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, we should be getting something out of this if we're going over to Berlin. What are we getting out of it?
I think it's a good partnership to strike up.
That's brilliant.
If this works out well between the two clubs, that, you know, he's gotten a good run, he's enjoyed it, and we've gotten something decent out of a player from Germany, it could be a continuous partnership nearly. We're never going to compete with Union Berlin. We're never going to be able to sign a player out in full time.
Yeah.
But getting a loan player who'll come in and play, you know, 20 games a season or 15 games a season, he'll improve the squad. We'll hopefully improve him. He goes back and maybe it can be a yearly thing. It's fairly fucking clever from whoever's been behind all this.
Yeah, I must book flights next time anyway. Fucking hell, I was kicking myself that weekend.
Oh, it's depression headquarters here. I'm fucking...
Samaritans
are on fucking... Samaritans are on phone watch, for fuck's sake.
Sitting here refreshing my phone every 10 minutes. Jake, I'm just trying to think in my mind... Have you played against any Germans in the League of Ireland, or is this the first fellow to come in? I think the only fellow I can think of that might have been even from that area in the League of Ireland was Alexander Kogler, who was Austrian, who played for Finn Harps last year, and that's from the back folder there.
You know what? When I actually played for Bowes first year under Alan Hardy, we were sponsored by Mr. Green, and that year there was a rumour going around that we were, I think Mr. Green were German based, and we were actually supposed to go over and play a friendly against a third division German team.
Really? Yeah.
Was this a lie we were sold about St. Pauli?
The plug got pulled on it, yeah, but now, other than that, now I wouldn't have fucking known any German players.
He must be the first German player in the League of Ireland for quite some time. Another player we signed, John McCracken, a goalkeeper. Very disappointed that he didn't open his Instagram account with can't wait to get cracking.
Release the cracking from the club.
Release the cracking, yeah. And we've obviously got a couple of other players in there, like Ryan Bourke, obviously, Solon McDade, Ethan Berry, and they're the lads that came in. And let's talk about the players that have come out. I think we all knew the writing was on the wall with Dawson Devoy. He was going to go at some stage. He was too good for this league, as far as I'm concerned. What he done in the number 8 role for Bowles, when we all thought he's a number 10, but he done some outrageous stuff. He could play him anywhere in those positions. We probably knew the writing was on the wall with him, and MK Dons were sniffing around last year. The one that probably hits quite hard is Promise, because that just kind of came out of the blue. And he moved to Fleetwood Town. Scott Brown's Fleetwood Town as well. Jake, did you play with him at any stage?
No, I never played with him. Played against him last year a couple of times, and he's so raw. He's the talent he's got is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Didn't like the way he was playing on the left this year, but I think the reason that was to do with his directness.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like last year when they played with Georgie up top, Tierney, Q and Bort all playing off, and we think they were trying to use Promise this year, obviously, because as you said, Bort hadn't been playing as well. But now he's a really good player. Seeing he actually scored today for Fleetwood.
He did indeed. I think so. A couple of people were kind of throwing stuff around. Jeez, was Keith Long trying to hide him by playing out left? Obviously, you have a different opinion on that.
Maybe Shelter was a fucking...
Shelter, I'd say, we don't want to keep him for the end of the season. Yeah. Obviously, these two players that have left us, we've been absolutely handed over by agents here. We've hardly got, I don't think it was five figures each, which is absolute robbery. There's obviously Daniel Lambert was on off the ball earlier. He spoke a lot of sense about how young players are developing.
Clubs
need to come together at this stage and sort this out.
I could be very wrong here, but I remember La Liga putting in a thing for players. They have to have a buyout clause of something outrageous. I think it's like 500 million or something like that. To protect the La Liga clubs from English clubs.
Yeah. I seen a buyout clause for some of those Brazilians at Real Madrid somewhere like the billions.
Yeah. Obviously, we can't do that in the league. But, you know, to have sort of a minimum standard for underage players, maybe if we can do it, I'm not too sure. I'm almost certain it's a La Liga implement the thing. Mm. And maybe it's something we can do. Obviously, a couple of 100,000 even, or 100,000. It's something that you know you're going to get a minimum value. We're like, getting what, fucking 30,000 for bleeding Danny Manju? Like, that's fucking insane.
That's a crazy
player. Ryan Grade meant to dare you for 40 grand. Like, that's what you're up against. Like, yeah. Promise gone for five figures. Dawson is five, border and six, I think we hear. It'd be interesting to see now. I know the AGM's tomorrow, so.
We'll find out the figures now tomorrow night.
Possibly, I'm not too sure.
It's also the impact that it's going to have on you for the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're talking about the last two games, UCD and Drogheda. You're talking about Promise, Devoy, Josh Kerr and O'Sullivan, and now you're saying you've ripped that in half. That's why, like, Keith Long, every single year it seems to be like he's going through a transition.
Yeah.
Where he's losing two of his best players mid-season at the minute rather than at the start of the season.
It does feel like it's a non-stop. Just someone put some of the names that have come in and out the door. I mean, there's nearly been like a couple of like 50-odd players that have come in and out of this club in the last 3 years.
Another thing on that side of it too, I think Danny mentioned that on the Off The Ball podcast. He said, like, the division, the separation between the League of Ireland and the under or the junior teams, it was essentially a man's league and underage teams. They all went off to England. The way we have it now is that it's all feeding into the League of Ireland. So it's turning into a young man's league. You look at the Rovers squad, there's no coincidence that they've got the oldest squad by far. The average age was 29 last season. And Bowles is the youngest. All the teams are getting very younger. I do think we have to get away from maybe constantly being able to play young players. Start looking towards the Scottish market, and as long as himself, the best time for value is probably the least ideal time, which is the middle of summer and the middle of season.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just before we leave the two lads here, Who was a bigger loss, Davoy or Promise?
Promise.
Oh, I'd say the way Bowles played, Davoy.
You think Davoy, yeah.
Yeah, I just think he's a central figure.
I kind of have a feeling that maybe Solo steps into that role, hopefully, or Flores really picks up the anchor there. I think Promise is... I think Promise for me. I just think what he was able to do. I prefer him in front of Junior, obviously. Like, so, yeah. And Junior is a good player in his own right. I don't know what variant
he is, but I don't think he has, from playing against both of them, he hasn't got that presence that Promise has.
I think Junior's about 38, honestly, God. He's fucking bollocks. Right, we'll move on to our guest now. So,
and as we always say, we go back to the start. I do remember being around Daily Mount circa 2012. I know your time was a bit before that, me and Jake, but I do remember bubbling around in a blue barber jacket. I remember seeing the lads walk down the canal one time, down the shells, just a bit of exchange with a couple of fans.
But you're with that big gangly fella, what's his name, Bones or something like that, is it?
He won't want to be mentioned. I think the guard looking for him.
Again. So how did it all begin, I suppose, for yourself?
Well, I went to Bowls matches as long as I can remember.
Then things roll about your point.
I first got into it with I was going to games with my dad, and that would have been around the time of Pat Fenlon, probably just before that, around the time of Pat Fenlon. So I was around for all that, and then just how it happened, I ended up meeting Bonesy at the games. We'd seen each other going to games, saying hello and that. We ended up playing for the same football team. We were the same age group, and then obviously fucked me dad off. as the good son I am, I started going with Bonesy, and like you say, you meet everyone, and I used to go, like, I was going home and away, and I used to lads from years ago, and then 16, 17, and obviously meeting Finglas Row, meeting Pete Sinnin, the man, the legend, and obviously I ended up, probably what my dream was growing up was to play for Bowls, and I ended up signing up for the 19s for 2 years and then making sure to the first team for a season and a half. So,
Who was it that picture from Belleville too, Bowles?
It was kind of just like the 19s is only really getting going a couple of years, and it's kind of like you went up for trials. But I remember my first game I went to play, on here, he had rang me dad and said he wanted to go up and play a friendly. The first day were playing the lads that weren't really playing in the first day. I remember Dinny was playing in it. So my dad got the address, said, right, after, I think I might have been still in school at this stage, we're going up to play this friendly up at the back of the airport. Said, we'd go up there for 6 o'clock, we're driving around, couldn't find it. Fucking about 6:30, get there, the lads are out warming up. I'm saying to myself, oh no, this is my chance gone. Owen Hardy, tough man like he is. But no, he was sound, went in, played a friendly, and then he offered to sign with me for the 19th. So yeah, I was chuffed with that, like, made up.
Absolutely brilliant. And when was your debut for Bowles?
I made my debut under Owen Hardy in that fourth season. I don't remember the year, but I remember we were wearing the Mr. Green jerseys. Came on out in UCD, I scored, and obviously made just a couple of sub appearances that year. I started in the Leinster Senior Cup against Pats, and the rest of that was sub appearances. And then the next season, obviously under Keith Long, I made my fourth start in the Derby against Rovers.
You did indeed, yeah.
And just sort of on the Rovers playing against Rovers. They believe that your hatred was really cemented in a game out there against someone underage for Belvedere. You broke your arm.
Oh, I broke my arm out in Rovers, yeah, Jesus. That was up in the sticks. We must have been under 15s maybe. And my outfield actually had to drive me into Temple Street. Arm was hanging off, but I wouldn't say that gave me any more of a liking for them now.
Just want to talk about your time at Bowls 2014. It was a pretty... Look, obviously we came off the back of just about staying up the year beforehand under Aaron Callaghan, and then on here he took over. It was a real... vanilla would be probably too kind for that season, because I think we finished in around 7th. The end of that season with Owen Hardy, and he took a lot of players away. Were you ever on one of the players? Were you somewhat in with Owen Hardy? Did you think he was a good manager? Did you think the way he up and left? Was that kind of a bit very abrupt where how he ended his Bowles career? And this... Look, Owen Hardy was an absolute League of Ireland legend. You know, I think he's more of a Shells legend than a Bowles legend, though he's a Bowles captain.
Yeah.
I think he left a very sour taste. And what was it like when he left that team?
To be honest with you, he was really good at me, because he would have been my under-19s manager, so he brought me through. So I had no problems with him. He gave me my debut. But from what I heard from the lads, he might have been a lot more old school than what was... Like, this is when sort of the modern game was coming in. Like, there was modern coaches coming in, all different ways of coaching, and he would have been a bit more old school. But I think the way he did live, like, that team, that year we underachieved, like, absolutely, we had a lot of really, really good players. And if you look at where their careers went that season, a lot of them went to Sligo, didn't do that well, but like you look at Stephen Beattie, would have gone to Cork the next year, winning a couple of league titles. We still had Jason Bourne, we had Dinny. But yeah, I think if he had a hanging around for the next season and continued to grow as a manager, Bowles would have been in a really good position, because like you're saying, when Keith Long came in, it probably took him a year to rebuild a new squad again, but he's gone from strength to strength since.
Absolutely.
From a fan's point of view, it was sort of bitter seeing Owen Harry leave, in the sense that he came in, from what we heard from past players, obviously he pushed Aaron Callan out the door to get the job himself. And like to leave the way he did, you know, Bowles got his licence over the line, and you know, first full season, you thought, build here, obviously look, fucking, there's no loyalty in the League of Ireland, there's no loyalty with money when Sligo came knocking, but from a fan's perspective, I think we're all sort of really happy to see him fail up in Sligo.
Yeah, well look, like, I think that year, that dressing room, with such a good dressing room, they were unbelievable days, with such a good team, a lot of older pros, you know what I mean, we're going into the dressing room, say, Jason Bourne, Detzer, David Mulcahy, Paddy Kavanagh, Aidan Price, all really good experienced lads who had good senior careers. And then there was a lot of like book on that wouldn't have played that many games, but then we had Dan Bourne as well, it was coming through, so it was a great time to be around the club. But as I said, I think if he had a sticking around, the club could have climbing up the ladder again the following season. But look, at that stage there would have been zero money knocking around Bowles, obviously, and Sligo probably came in with a big offer, and like
off the back of very successful seasons.
Yeah,
they probably haven't recovered since.
So we probably did jump at the opportunity, but then again, would anyone like would Ray? We probably would, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, I wouldn't, as a true Bowles man.
You'd fucking sell your ass for fire, but you can't. Is that your other Tinder page, is it? Just on 2015 as well, was that your final year of Bowles before you moved to Drogheda?
Yeah, well, obviously Owen left and then Keith Long came in. And I was having to prove myself again, and I started the game.
Who was the midfield options in 2015 again?
We would have had Dave McCatty, would have still been there.
Yeah.
You're a kid breaking through. You're trying to play
Lopez was midfield.
Pico was playing midfield. Yeah. Lopez, we had Keelan, Dillon, James O'Brien, Robbie Creevy. So we had got a lot of options.
Strange enough on Keelan Dillon, and just a quick one. Obviously, Dan Lambert, incredibly good at the football operations side. If Dan Lambert was left in charge of the football team, like some people think he is, he did tell me a few years ago, look at Keelan Dillon there, he's going to be the next Bowles captain. He was just relegated with Warren Point. So shows how much Dan Lambert knows about actual football. But the operations side, he's an absolute sterling operator, yeah.
You know, I actually have a story from that. And listen, I played with Keelan at Drogheda. I think he's a lovely fella.
Yeah.
And we were playing out in Pats the week before. And I would have been flying and training. I was getting fed up and not playing. And we were playing out in Pats and we were getting beaten. At the end of the game, he tried to nutmeg someone at the edge of the box. I think myself, Dan Bourne, were sitting on the bench. And the assistant manager stood up, giving out. And I probably let the fan out of me and I just go, he's doing it every fucking week. And straight away, instantly regretted it. And I was like, fuck, why did I, you know what I mean? Why did I say that? And remember after the game in the dressing room, Longer was looking at me and I was like, bollocks, man, I get myself into trouble again. But I think that might have been a Monday night game. And then we were playing Rowers on the Friday. But during that week, that was the Copa 90 game.
Oh, yeah.
So we trained on Thursday. So going up the train and saying to myself, I'm not going to be playing tomorrow. But look, obviously prepared the right way. Turned up the train and fucking Owen Garvin was training with us.
That's right, he was on trial. I think Longer didn't like his action.
In midfield, who came back from Ipswich, so I rocked up the train and I was like, for fuck's sake, because I'm never going to get a game. And then, out of the blue, get up to the game the next day, he calls out the team, you're kind of sitting there thinking to yourself, and then you hear your name, you're like, fuck, am I actually playing? I remember Dan Bourne tipping me saying, that's fucking you, you're starting.
Dan
would have taken me under his wing when I went in. He would have been really good to me. It was a travel with him. And I know he done the same with Paddy Kirk when he joined up at Bowles after playing for the 19s. But myself, Dan and Bucko,
I think he got relegated with Keelan Dillon as well recently, as well, didn't he? Before a point out.
They're still playing together up there, man.
Jesus Christ.
So then I said you played against Rovers as a boyhood Bowles fan. What was it like then coming out to the Daily Mount Raw?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It really was. Only now, like when you think back about it. It was packed to the rafters. I remember they played, Steve McVeigh was playing set the mid for them. So even just lining up beside him, you're thinking, holy God.
An expert free taker McVeigh wasn't he?
It was myself, Pico and Bucco in the midfield, and it was on RTE, and I don't think we touched the ball for the first 20 minutes. Mm. And then after that, we start getting on the ball, doing all right, got into half time, and went in 1-0 down at half time.
We did, yeah.
And in the dressing room, the lads were kind of having a bit of argy-bargy. Longer was calm. said that we were playing well, came out the second half, and Dean Kelly was at the sister's wedding that day.
Yeah, he was.
After the wedding, came on, scored 2-1, 3-1, and it was just
was unbelievable. Prendergast got the first one back.
Dale got a header.
It was a cracking header.
Got a few that season.
In off the underside of the bar, and then obviously it was Akinadi's first game.
Yeah.
Here's a question: what was it like when Akinadi came into the dressing room? Did you know much about what was going on? Did you just take him as salt and just say, "Look, you're part of the team now"?
He kind of just sprung on us. I remember we were training, I think on a Sunday morning, and he came in and trained with us. I think people were a little bit like, oh, you know what I mean? They had heard the background, but
nobody actually got the. There was always what he might have done, but nobody actually knew what exactly happened.
Yeah, there was rumours. I do remember, though, there was a little bit of talk, and then we went out onto the train that morning, and he was fucking unbelievable. Trying to chase him, and he put his arm into me. It was like hitting a bleeding steel pole.
He was unbelievable footballer. When he's playing out wide, playing up front, the fella was absolutely. I loved watching him play, and I always said one thing.
Just raw as well. Yeah. Like, you've.
But in fairness to that, what I'd say about Keith Long is after, say, like it got announced that he was signed, I think he might have come up to Dundalk with us for a game and we didn't know he was signed and he ended up playing. I think we might have beaten him that day. Yeah,
we won up there.
That was the only time he got defeated that season as well.
It was only us that beat him that year.
And Keith obviously pulled the group without him and had said what was going on and didn't give us the full ins and outs, but just said, look, this is it and we're happy with it and like everything that was, you know what I mean? No one knows the full story, but. So the lads did know, but sure, look, he was, no one does know still to this day, but he's gone off the map.
He's done something wrong.
Like us all, John. Just haven't got caught yet. But obviously, your career, how's your time come to an end at Bowes? Was it a mutual agreement to say, look, you're not part of the plans next year? For some reason, in the back of my mind, Robbie Creevy came in.
Robbie Creevy was there at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And look, I was doing really well. Played a game against Rovers and we went on the mid-season break, so we broke for a week and then come back, and I remember saying, right, I'm going to give it a couple more games, hopefully get more minutes, and 3 more games played, didn't get on, and I was saying to myself, just at the breaking through the year before on their own here, you felt like I had to repeat the same thing, but Keith Long was really good at me. I did go a little bit AWOL, went and played for Malahoy for a while, but he actually kept in touch with me, came out to watch me. And he was the one who got me in touch with Jota for the next season to sign for them. So brilliant. That was a credit to him. Like,
and you went up to Jota, like, not obviously a Bowes fanboy trade. Was it hard to sign? Was it hard to sign for another club in the League of Ireland, seeing as you were staunch Bowes? Or was this, look, this is the career path at the moment. This is what I want to do.
No, it wasn't hard. Like, at that stage, I just wanted to go out and play games. Yeah. I do remember at the start, though, I think the fans were a little bit. Kind of frosty with me saying, oh, he's Bowes. But remember,
it's Bowes like, casual playing centre mid.
Listen, if you're playing, whether you're playing for fucking Jota, the Waterford, the Finn Harps, you give 100%. Absolutely. When I was playing against Bowes, I'm out there to win for Jota. No questions asked, you know what I mean? That's your job. And you do it after your teammates and your management.
Absolutely. Who signed you for Jota? Who was it?
I went there under Pete Mann.
Pete Mann, yeah, former Bowes man as well.
Lovely man. Really good man. First year we were there, we got promoted in the playoffs. We played Shane Keegan's Wexford 2-0 down, come back and beat them 3-0. Second leg, got promoted, and then...
Did he fuck off? He fucked off, didn't he?
Shane Keegan, yeah. It was announced the night before the playoff game. He was going to Galway. I remember Pete being in the dressing room, and he was like, that little sleeve in. And that was like, he was like, we have this toy won, and we were all like, we didn't give a shit, you know? We were just worried about what was going on in the match.
Game's still there to be played.
Yeah, now when you're thinking about it, you're like, in their dressing room, they might have been thinking, Jesus, this manager is gone. Is he taking me with me? Is he going to leave me? But, played with Pete, and then the next season we're in the Premier Division, he signed a lot of experienced players, didn't really work out, dressing room wasn't great. And then
I think one of the couple of results I remember from that, it was 2017 season, Jake, wasn't it? We went up there and we won 4-0, and Keith Ward
got a hat-trick.
Remember that goal he scored where he just flicked it up on the far right side and banged it in the back of the net from miles out. A couple of good goals that game.
Pete Mann, obviously a former Bowles manager as well, a lot of people said that he probably came in a hard time at Bowles. And but had football passed by him by that stage, do you think?
I think that'd be harsh in saying, but what I'd say is he had John Gilbs as assistant, and the two of them are kind of old school. And then, if you have players who are wanting to learn under new coaches, it can get a bit, like, you see new coaches going in, there's like a new age of style of management. Didn't really work out, and then obviously the club brought in Tim Clancy, who was brilliant, breath of fresh air, and he really kicked us on then for the next few years.
I always remember looking at the result of that playoff final up in Finn Harps. I think he had won the home leg, and it was a fucking filthy night in Ballymun Bay. Let's not mention the B word now. I look forward to that. But I remember looking at that. I think he was won the home leg, was it?
Won the home leg.
He just went up there. Was it without Chris Lyons or something like that? Or he wasn't available or something? Or
no, I actually got injured. We played Cabin Thiele in the, say, the semi-final to the playoff. And I scored and got injured. I like burst a blood vessel in my foot and went up. We beat them at home. And we were thinking to ourselves, we're going up here, job half done. We'll see this game out after about 3 or 4 minutes. They scored from a set piece, of course. Don't want to be tempted fate with balls now this Friday. But as you said, it was a horrible night. It went to extra time, and then I think in the 190th minute, we were on the sideline banking on penalties. Like, we had all our homework done. We were saying we knew where people were going.
Who was your keeper that year?
Paul Skinner.
Paul Skinner, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we had everything mapped out, and the 190th minute, a set piece, bang, pitch invasion. Absolute heartbreak.
Yeah,
that's you know, if you look at the record of fourth division teams and playoffs against Premier Division teams, I think
Finn Harps have won every last one.
No, but look at the between the two of them, like not 9 times out of 10, but like, only 70% of the time the fourth division team actually wins.
Yeah.
Everyone always seems like they'll have too much.
Yeah.
Like the fourth division team has momentum.
The only thing I'd say about that though is even this year it looks like it's gonna be UCD or Finn Harps, probably gonna be Finn Harps. If you're the fourth division team, come Finn Harps, Ollie Hargan, the last team you want to come up against.
That's
going to be November. That pitch is an absolute disgrace. That's going to be a disgrace on Friday night. Yeah. You can imagine November. It's a full-on bog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So do you see the favours Harps.
Do you see the video of Ollie Hargan at half-time or full-time against Derry City? Obviously, they were 1-0 up and then conceded to the red calls. He's absolutely hammering that team. I mean,
there is a want up there from, we'll probably touch on them all a bit later, but we all the Harps this week.
You're already sweating.
There's a lot of people actually up there that want him out. Like, I think it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's done some job up there. Jake, obviously you finished playing football. I was only reading your article there earlier. There's a couple of quotes here. You said, I want to give football 100% and I didn't think it was fair on the lads for me to go up there training and not be able to give 100%. To play football at this level, all you need to be is all in. I've been doing it for 6 seasons. We were not paid massive money. It was mentally tough. The injuries I've had didn't help. But I wouldn't say that would be a big factor. More so, it's finding the balance between work, family life and football. It's a decision I've made, I'm happy with. I can come back someday and play. You'll see me at a few Rotterdam games. You stand by the decision, are you happy with what you've done?
100%. Just speaking to Jordan on the way in there, I had to be saying, I was actually thinking about it today. It's like being a fan and being a player. If you're a fan, you have to be all in. It's like you two lads, your balls home and away. When I was still going to the games when I was younger, you're all in. It consumes your whole week. When you're a player, you have to be the same. I just found last year I didn't do a full pre-season. I was injured in pre-season. You're constantly playing catch-up.
Yeah.
And look, it plays on your mind, you know what I mean? You don't want to be going up there half-arsed. Like, not that you're half-arsed, but you're going up there, you're doing a full day's work. It's tough. It's the league. People might say it's strong, but like, 7 out of 10 teams are full-time. Yeah. So you're already playing catch-up. So listen, I've got a young daughter at home, so it was just my decision. And as I said, it's one that I'm 100% happy with.
Happy. Was it a tough decision, obviously, to make at the time?
Oh, it was a really tough decision. And obviously, I love my time up at Trotter. Really good relationship with Tim Clancy. Really, the lads up there were brilliant. And we had a great season last year.
You're going to hang him by the bollocks then, huh?
No. I won't do an Oscar Brennan. Don't you worry. But, we had a really good season last year. And then the respect that I have for Tim, I went back up to sign in, say, November, December. And I just had in my head, they kind of only told me, Mom and Dad and a couple of my mates, Bonesy and that, and they were saying, you're mad. And I was like, look, it's my decision. And I went up to meet him to sign. And anyway, he started talking. I said, there's no even point in starting. I said, I won't be going back. And then after a while, he kind of reasoned with me. He played some of his career in Scotland. He'd got a missus and kids living back here. And he goes, I know how hard it is. You see, like, people wouldn't understand how difficult it is. From the outside looking in, everyone thinks it's perfect. You're a footballer. It's not. It's a really, really tough dedication. That's why, like, you have to take your hat off to anyone who does do it.
Absolutely, yeah. With that Trotter team now at the moment, do you know, are they full time? Are they even training as well, or are they mornings as well?
No, they train Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, match Friday, recovery session on Saturday. So a lot of the lads would do like gym work or part time. I had a full time job, but like it depends what stage of life you're at. If you're 21, 22, single, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
you mightn't be on the lookout for money. You might be happy to just play football.
England's probably still not your level, like,
for part time. Exactly. Yeah. That. Whereas like me, I was like, I knew I'm never gonna go to England. If I got an offer for a full time club, I wouldn't take it because I couldn't risk losing my job. I think a lot of people are in that boat. I think that's why the league has gone to such a young man's league.
Yeah, I can't remember who was on, he was talking to us, And he just said, even when we talked about Bowles going full time last year with Bucko there and Rob Cornwell, the lads probably couldn't afford to give up their careers. Like, yeah. Grant Bowles might have paid them, I don't know what they would have paid them a week, but it would have been a big loss to their income.
Like, I remember
when he gave up that trade.
With Paddy Kavanagh, he said he left Derry full time and he went to Bowles. And I was like, how come Bowles? And he goes, because they're a part time team. He goes, I have a job during the day, and it suited him, but it just got to the stage with me that you're going to train and absolutely bollocks, and you're saying, there's only so long you can do it for. I've been doing it for 4 seasons, for 6 years, up and down that M1.
Double jobbing, essentially.
Yeah, 100%.
Here's a question. I know we ask a lot of people this week, obviously, someone who's played the game. Did you feel this Bowes team, let's say this exact current team, but let's say they were training in the full time setup on that absolutely gorgeous facility we have up in DCU. Let's say if we were different to this year, and we had that head start of being full time mornings, different mentality, a different aura around the club.
Yeah.
Do you think we'd be in this position where we're still losing games and we're not mentally there in some games? Or do you think that would totally flip on its head if we had a totally different regime?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a reason you could say for fatigue, and like if you look at it, like
do you think Bowes are fit in some games you've watched?
Yeah, I think that they're the fit team, but I think the reason for conceding late goals and not seeing games out is that leadership.
Yeah.
It's very hard when you're playing a game to be that player that manages. Like you're worried about is your own performance. It's hard to worry about 11 other players on the pitch. Mm. That's why the captain's role is normally even an experienced player that can manage that can deal with that. You know what I mean? But just like you hear the rumors of Bowes going full time next year. If you have something to do if you have something to do for the day, you want to do it in the morning.
Yeah.
Training is more productive in the morning. Plus, it also allows you to attract better players. If you're looking at talking about Liam Bort, if Liam Bort's sitting at home now and he's saying, do I want to go to Shamrock Rovers, train full time, earn X amount of money, or wait until the evening to train with Bowes?
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is. Jake, before we ask a couple of questions, I want to ask you something. Do you remember how we met?
I do, but I'll let you tell the story.
So, anyone familiar with Galway away 2010?
It wasn't a great night.
It was a pretty poor night out in Terryland Park. So we're yourself, Jake, my mate Al Mooney, and Ron McGee are sitting in the seats on the bus, on the club bus it was back in the day, before we were corrupted by a certain Mr. Fingers Row. And we've obviously lost 3-2. It's an absolute fucking stinker of a night. It's probably one of the worst games of football I've been at in my life. And my mother, Denise, I love her so much, but fuck you for this one. She was hammered in town and she kept ringing my phone, obviously to check in on me, but also to ask me if Bowes had won the league, because I was obviously all week giddy as that and saying, look, we're going to win the league tonight, Denise. So she rings the phone. Ring, 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 ring. How are you? Did you win the league? No, we didn't. Me crying on the phone. 5 minutes goes by, she rings again. Did you win the league? No, Denise, we didn't win the fucking league. At this stage, Mr. Hoyle and Mr. McGee behind me, who didn't really know me, are breaking their bollocks laughing at this fucking fat Aegis Ma ringing them over and over. 5 or 6 missed calls then. I get home and she gives me a fucking bollock and said, you should answer your fucking phone. And there's me. Got in the door that night. I was in my room. I was just like, I was so fucking angry. I had every player on my room. You know, I used to get the program and the player be in the middle of it. So I had everyone up on the wall from the last couple of years. I came in, I ripped the whole wallpaper down in one fucking sweep. Everyone went in the bin, except Ken O'Mahon. I kept him on the wall. Cunt signs were over fucking 2 weeks later.
I believe you were calling Ken O'Mahon a cunt as well that night.
Oh, look, he's going to get me in trouble. He's Jay's taxi driver. Yeah. That's all I hear when I listen to this podcast.
I'm sitting on my taxi at fucking 3 in the morning looking at the back. Kenneth will be there in 5 minutes. I'm not this fucker again.
Yeah, if you had went down to Whelan Scaff after the FA Cup final, he was tearing down Wardy's photos.
He still replies to me, gives me a few bit of info on some players the other time, Wardy.
But speaking of buses there, Jake, back in your Bohemia paramilitary days, I think you might be one of the founding members of what would be known as the baby crew.
I was there about it.
Yeah, I do believe you went down to Sligo one time and it was a bit frosty on the way home.
Jeez, I remember that now.
It was a cold one on the way home, even like that.
Do you tell us what happened?
I think that might have been the first outing of the Free From Desire.
I think it was the one after that season. I think we beat them twice out there that season.
Yeah, I remember being at the Free From Desire. Did we win 1-0 that night?
We won 1-0.
I think Aidan Downs might have scored, didn't
I? Best on Aidan Downs, I think it was.
No, they were playing. That was the first outing of the Free From Desire. But anyways, on the way home from Sligo, obviously, bit of commotion getting out of there. I'm sitting beside Big Bouncy on the bus. And obviously, there's people standing up. The English, you can imagine the carries on. And the brick comes through the window. So I'm sitting there. First of all, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, what's going down? Next of all, everyone's baiting off the bus. We're chasing after people. I think me and Bonesy went one way saying we could see them. Thought, I hope, could we see them? We seen them when they go the other way and we went opposite. But it was a cold journey home that night.
We're running around church grounds looking to try to find a couple of hoods. There is an infamous picture of the side of the bus that's absolutely smashed up. And as I said, there's a couple of well-known board members these days who are highly mashed, is all I'd say. Unaware of what was actually happening. Just sitting there like gormless heads like, what's going on here? Oh, stop. I have a couple of questions just to ask you, Jake, as we always do. And I guess
we have a couple of more here, Adam. Yeah. Said you've been walking around. You're a banana straightener in Fifes.
That was my job, yeah, when I started off.
Is this an actual thing? Like, I thought
that it wasn't a banana straightener, no,
it was a banana peeler.
I think I was trying to get Milton and Dog up there. They was responsible for Fifes. I know that was when I was like, say, 17, 18. Remember, I was trying to get fucking Dinny Cork on a job and all in there. He didn't work. He played for balls. And he was like, fucking hell, how are you working on that?
And look, so you've retired now. What do all the footballers do when they retire?
Play golf.
I heard there's been a few bogey swings outside there, golf.
Look, I played in the tournament there on Friday and did finish second. I wasn't going to blow me on Trumpet, but...
the captain's
I did retire from football to spend more time with my child, but... Sadly, I fucking took off golf. Haven't seen her in weeks.
You have to get out of the house.
Look, we have been told you're only with your missus so you can get into the big gaff.
If Bounty said that, he's going to cook.
No, he didn't tell us, but he said, look, you're just chasing that construction gig.
Jake, I'm going to ask a couple of ones here. What's your favourite game you ever played as a footballer?
Easy, that Bowles Rovers game. Have to be, like, as a Bowles fan, getting to play in that. I think that's anyone's fucking dream, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's your favourite player you played alongside?
Played alongside, that's a tough one. Same to the Bowles podcast, I'd say either Bucco or Dan O'Bourne, because they were both really good to me.
You look a bit like Bucco.
Both of them, do you think? Yeah, he might be happy with that. But, both are only a couple of years older than me, but they were just really good. They were really helpful, and like, I'd still be friends with both of them to this day. I'd still talk to them, even though Booker was on the other side of the world. They'd still text me that when they're retiring. But they're two really good players, and obviously look at Dan was unlucky with injury at Bowles and the career Booker's had, and going on to captain Bowles, like, unbelievable
hero.
Do you think Booker will actually come back?
I don't think he's gone for life. Yeah. I think if he does come back, the only club he play for is Bowles, though. I think he's one of them. He went for a year. I think
he might out the shares. It's a boyhood club. Like,
if Bowles are full time, I couldn't see him turning down Bowles.
Not sure. He has said in interviews he didn't want to.
He's a really, shares, really, he's so underrated. Like, even just speaking to managers about him, having played with him, and like, you speak to some people, they're saying, oh, is he that good? You look at Bowles this year without him. He's one of the best midfielders in the league.
Yeah.
Remember, Jack Bourne was asked, who do you hate playing against the most? Or who's the best player played against the league? And he's like, keep ugly.
But he's so technically good as well. I remember when I first went training him, I couldn't believe it. Like, left foot, right foot, you think that he's just one of these players that runs around kicking people. There's so much more to his game than that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, who's the biggest cunt you played against in the league? If you had to pick someone you just hated playing against, fucking...
Hated playing against, for what reason?
Oh, just what they were like on the pitch. Maybe their aura, maybe their persona.
I wouldn't say he's a cunt. He's a cunt on the pitch, Greg Bulger.
You
could play against him and you'd kick him and he'd start laughing and give you a bit. Like I said, someone who can give it and take it back. But he's actually bang on. Like,
would you leave him alone with your missus?
I wouldn't leave anyone alone with me missus. For fuck's sake. What am I hesitating there for?
Right. A team you would have loved to play for in your career, let's say you could have been any team in the world.
Liverpool,
yeah. And a manager you would have loved to play under, presumably. I say Klopp, is it?
Yeah, you have to, don't you? Yeah. What a legend.
Right, and my final question, which is the new question on this week's podcast, is who plays you in a movie?
Oh jeez, that's brutal. I don't watch fucking anything. Tell you someone else leading Love Island. Who plays me
in the Big Bowls movie?
Fingless Rob. We're getting Pete's in it.
Pete's in it. Pete's in it. We're getting Rob a wig. Joro, you've got the two big ones there, so ask away, son.
Yeah, we have, first and foremost, Jeff Wivers, I think.
Does it have to be from Bowes?
No, it could be anyone you played with in your career, anyone at all.
Right, so we no keeper, we just go last man back.
Last man back, yeah.
So I'd say Detzer, have to have him for 5-a-sides. Bucco, Sean Brennan,
Sean Brennan never jotted.
Unbelievable. Technically unbelievable. He only really started taking football serious a couple of years ago, and he's unbelievable.
Out of all those brothers, you're going to rate him the highest. Do you think that obviously Killian Brennan is probably
Killian, for a season. Killian was unbelievable.
He's playing centre half now for
He wasn't bothered at that stage. Now when he played with us, he actually broke his collarbone in the first game.
Yeah.
But he was really good. So same 33.
1 second as Josh is outside, right?
Walk away there.
We keep going.
Yeah, we keep going.
Yeah. So where can you pick this up from?
Oh, pick it up now. We're not cutting out now. Here. We've got that moment, busy one. So you have Sean Brennan there.
So I'd say that's our Bucko, Sean Brennan. Chris Lyons played with him at Trotter. Yeah, he was fucking brilliant for us. And I'd have Jason Bourne just because
Jason Bourne.
When I went to Bowes, I would have fought, like following Bowes, watching him, the old pro. Ah, what a legend and what a player as well. Like,
yeah, he was. Yeah.
Someone to learn off.
Probably, I think that maybe probably chased the dream too much to get there. I know it's easier said than done, but yeah. I think he probably was.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, well, I think it was just one of them that he. We didn't want to leave the dressing room. He loved the carry on, loved the crack. So, he was fucking unbelievable.
Good stuff. And said, if you had to sit down one player, dead or alive, no language barrier, to sit down and have a drink, who would it be?
I was thinking about this one. So I listened to the podcast and I was going to say Messi, but it'd be terrible boredom, wouldn't it?
Because it would be.
Brutal. So I'd say, I was a Bowles fan, obviously, growing up Liverpool. But I'd say Steven Gerrard seems cool, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
Have a drink with.
He actually does come across quite well as Villa manager. Obviously, as Rangers is probably here to kind of tip to warm to him. Jake, just want to say thanks very much for all that. We didn't roast you too badly. I think we left you all right.
No, that was good. Thanks, lads.
Brilliant. We're going to move on to our FA Cup game against Harps this week. Just look at some of the other fixtures. If you're looking at that, Jake, pretty much there's going to be a lot of fucking junior teams in the second round now, aren't there? There's a good, bang, I know, Treaty United and Usher.
Luke Sinnott's heading out to Talla Friday night.
Luke Sinnott, a good Bowes man,
hopefully
form podcast man.
Hopefully one of those cunts out there.
Playing for Bangor Celtic. If in Harps game, I want to say one thing. We need to lose the narrative around hard place to go.
I don't know if it's nearly keep long mentality and maybe carries it into the team. Harps has got thumped the weekend. All he's fucking nearly fighting for his job at this stage. We've all seen the video of him calling his players a bunch of cunts. Okay, well, that probably happens in dressing rooms every week.
Yeah.
It just happens to be caught, but... You know, it's not looking good from the outside in. It'd be very fucking typical for the cunts to beat us.
I'd like to think
that maybe Ollie has his eyes on the league more so than the cup.
Yeah.
Then again, it's the cup of distraction you need to give you a bit of form.
If you're out of the cup, and this is a very staggered part of the season, obviously with European games, things are called off. If you're out of the cup in the first round, you can go a couple of games, game weeks, not playing.
Yeah.
Because of teams around and stuff like that. Would that suit Finn Harps, you reckon? Let's say, look, we're fighting for our lives, we need time to recover.
Definitely, it'd suit Finn Harps. I thought you were going to say it might suit Bowes. No. But this is a vital game in Bowes season. If they win this, you can concentrate on getting top four and playing in the cup. It's a healthy distraction. Yeah. Whereas if you get knocked out of this...
Playing on as many fronts as possible, really.
Yeah, all your eggs are in the one basket. A lot of pressure is going on to all them games. I think there's only 13 games left. So it's a vital
and being on the other end of the table, you would have been sort of drawn to fight relegation and being in the cup. Where is your priority lie? Has that come in the dressing rooms?
Yeah, 100% stay in the league, but the way managers look at it is if to say it's a free hit. If we lose here, we're expected to lose. So that's when there's no pressure on Finn Harps on Friday. All the pressure is on Bowes. You've seen the thing with the new jersey for the cup, designed specifically for the cup. Don't think they're going to get to wear it.
I don't know, unless Dan Lambert put a couple of brown envelopes up there outside fucking Hegarty and Hogan's
wall. But look, as you said... It is a really tough place to go. That's just because of the conditions and the pitches, as I said, shocking. But Bowes should be beating them, especially after adding that bit of experience to the team. Hopefully they can go up there and just get a job done Friday. If it's an ugly win, it's an ugly win.
I'll take a 1-0 right now.
100%.
Do you think he goes all out with Tack, or does he try and sit back a little bit? He's gone up there before and experimented with teams. He's played 4-3-3. He's played 5-3-2 up there.
I don't think he's much of an option, but the goal for you know, he's got the 4-3-1 that we're also very much used to. I don't think he's going to change it around. I think he's trying to get these players to gel that, you know, we didn't gel at the start of the season. He said X, Y, and Z aren't good enough, they're gone. X, Y, and Z left because they're too good. And he's brought in a crop of players. I think these are crop of players that are going to make or break Keith Long's Bohemian career to the summer signings. I think we're going to go play the usual game. You play your own game, you don't play. I think that's been an issue with Keith Long playing Finn Harps, particularly up there. I think you have to play your own game. I don't really fucking hear you, man.
Finn Harps, obviously a bit of an awkward side. They've always got a couple of strange characters up there. Their recent signing, Rob Jones, 6'6".
Yeah, seen the goal he scored against Derry.
6-6. I'd be a bit worried about that now. Because as I said, we have been very, very suspect at corners and set pieces.
Rod have missed an open goal, but sitting on the last minute on Friday. Like.
Who did he play? Did he play Kieran Kelly or would he throw Feely in centre-half? Feely's been very good in the air. Now, I've been a massive, massive critic of Rory Feely. I think he's an absolute bomb scare of a footballer. But he's very good in the air. No, and that's all I give him. No, and for playing against someone like that, he's going
to
start.
Josh Kerr and Kieran Kelly out to me all day long. I don't know. It would be interesting to see whether this young fella from Germany comes in right back or whether
I don't think he's going to get a day.
He played a dock right back again, won't he?
I think Feely could be the shout, right? Feely could play full up in Finn Harps now. Just the fact that they bombard it with set pieces and he's 6 foot plus.
Fuck it, play Max Murphy centre half and make him captain. There's four buses of fans going up there as well. Obviously, the club have decided to subsidise.
I think a lot of those buses be half empty. People wake up on Friday morning and realise what they're doing with their lives. Have you actually ever gone up there as a fan?
No, the last time I played up in Finn Harps last season, I actually got sent off. So they don't want to be taking advice from me on Finn Harps.
You won't be coming up an August then.
I have a seat there if you want to go on it. You can sit next.
You probably charge me.
Sit next to Rob down the back.
He'll charge you
for a free bus.
Yeah. Look, someone, I have to sorry for money somewhere. All that money I've been stealing from charity down the years. So with that in mind, lads, we have to put a figure or have to put a score line on this now. Jordan, I'm going to go with you first there.
1-0 with John O'Sullivan scoring the goal.
A dirty 1-0 win, yeah.
I'm going to say 3-1 Bowes. It should be a comfortable one, but not keeping the clean sheet. They're making nervous.
What?
Has there ever been a comfortable one supporting Bowes?
Not this season, anyways.
No. Every part of my body says that we're going to lose 1-0. And we'll all be throwing P45s at Keith Long on a long bus home.
Such is the fickleness of youth cunts.
Every part of my body says that, but I'm going to try find some optimism in me and say it's going to be a dirty 1-0 win and maybe a Josh Kerr or something like that.
Yeah.
Just give us that and get us out of this round and give us some fucking LSL team in the next round. Yeah.
Before we finish up then, I'm going to ask you a question, Jake, on the two managers that you've worked with. As you said, great relationship with Tim Cantsey, you still chat to him now. He's been under the scope, but Pat's going to be fickle wankers too, that they wanted him gone at some stage. I think it's fucking madness if a new manager comes in after a few months, you want him on. I think that's a severe lack of intelligence. Do you have full faith in Tim Cantsey getting it over the line?
100%.
Put it out there.
Yeah, I think, like I said, he's about Keith Long and going through a transition every year with the fact that he's losing players. He got that job late this year. A lot of the players went to Dundalk. He probably lost the spine of the team, a lot of the experience. I've spoke here tonight about what it takes to have a spine of a team, to have experience. I think he's had to sign a couple of players now in the window. The only problem is it looks like it's going to be them and Bowes vying for the fourth place. But no, he's a really, really good manager, really good manager. He takes the person into consideration first rather than the player, which is, as a player, like, you respect that so much and it'd make you run through a wall for him. But I think he's going to have a really good career in football management.
Good stuff. Speaking of football managers, I just want to wish Mario Dolan all the best of luck at Kilmore Celtic, a former guest of ours and good friend of ours as well. So best of luck, Mario. I wonder what they're fucking paying him.
And again, suppose Tim Clancy, your full faith in the course of Keith Long. Do you think that it's crazy the fans want him out?
I think it's ludicrous, yeah. I'm not just saying that because I worked under him. If we thought it was right time for him to go, as I've said... about the transition thing, he's at the losing two of his best players mid-season. Mm. After getting signings in, probably thinking promising the boy won't go. I think the only time people should judge Keith Long is if he's not doing a good job when they're full-time next season. But I think he's been performing miracles for Bowes.
I really think he has. I do agree with you. I think next year has to be right from the start. None of this 10 games into the season.
But you look at it, if you're full-time next season, you don't have any excuses.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the thing, you know what I mean?
And we should be able to attract better players. So look, as always, we want to thank our sponsors, Grand Crew, Vault Fashions, New Age Barbers. Jake, before we finish, do you have anything to say? Any
last words? Any shout out to drop the fans or anything for the Bowes faithful going up north?
Jesus, I'd say a prayer going up north to Finn Harps. Should have given Bonesy a bit more stick, but look, we let him away with it. I think it's easier to get you to the Pope than it is to that fella.
Actually, I had a cracker there a couple of weeks ago, right? I gave Bonesy a text and just sent him a couple of things to say to him. So I said, this one, this number two, and number three, I just sent him a picture of a wristband, right? So the wristband around me, wrist or whatever. And he goes, so he answered the first two, well, no bother. He also told him, what the fuck are you sending me a picture of you with a wristband on you at 1 o'clock in the bleeding Monday morning? So I was just sending him a picture outside Tower Records. It was Paladini.
Yeah.
And he goes, private gig pan the teeny, and he goes, "You're winding me fucking up." And he's like, you're taking the pitch, Yeah.
What about me and the first one on the pitch in Jordan last week? Hasn't that a game all season?
You're getting bad. I got a selfie out in the teeny and just sent him a bones. I was like, oh my god.
I
should have seen the selfie. He was shaking like that when he came up to me.
He came home, he showed me the selfie. It's all like fucking blurred in the start. He's after being on, he's been on that face app that the board used on Tinder.
fair play to the teeny. After I've done the force, and he goes, all right, mate, did you want to try that again? I'm not sure if you got it. So he does it again. Of course, that one was no better.
Right, lads, on that, Jake, once again, thanks for coming in. Lads, on three. We're playing in the fucking FAI Cup this weekend. We have a good
heartbreak hotel.
We have a love affair with it. Let's fucking go, Habs. Let's fucking win. Come on, the boys. Come on, boys.
Because we all follow Bows wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around.